Tonight we reflect on the fifth word. My God, why have you forsaken me? At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? This word is a word of abandonment. Our Lord is alone. All he loves have left him. But this isolation, this abandonment, is nothing new. It has been building since he began his public ministry. He makes clear that he leaves behind everything, including his home. He says he doesn't even have a place to rest his head. And his desire to serve, to love, to minister, it begins the isolation that reaches climax on the cross. From the beginning of his teaching, there's tension, anger, hatred, which only grows with each passing day. Many of the towns he tries to enter will reject him. The people will cast him away. As we will hear this Sunday, by the end of his ministry, he can't even go in public without fear of being hunted, he and his apostles being killed. This isolation is not only on the outside, but even inside of his own inner circle. As long as our Lord had been telling the apostles that his death was coming, as well as his resurrection, they didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend this gift. And these friends, these brothers, who couldn't receive the gift he was trying to prepare them for, his isolation deepens. His pain starts to grow. Imagine it continuing to grow at the Last Supper, as he celebrates his final meal with these brothers. He washes their feet, serving them one last time, gives them the gift of their priesthood, the gift of himself in the Eucharist. In the midst of the meal, he tells them how they will fail him. Everyone in turn says they will not. They will stay faithful. Even Judas, who would hand him over, said he would never do so. But they all fail in their own way. Even John, who will stay by our Lord on the cross, fails during the agony. So after the meal, we know our Lord goes to pray, to bare his heart to the Father. In his pain, he invites his closest friends, Peter, James, and John. He makes himself vulnerable. They fall asleep repeatedly. Every time he asks them to be with him, they fail him. Even though John gets his act together, follows our Lord with his cross, as we heard last week, our Lord gives John to Mary and Mary to John. And so in a sense, even these two are no longer with him, now separated. He has no one left. His abandonment overwhelms him. Because even though he is fully God, he is fully human. And in his humanity, he enters fully into our desolation. He cannot feel the love or the presence of his Father. Hebrew tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been similarly tested in every way, yet without sin. Eucharistic prayer 4 says he shared our human nature in all things but sin. Every pain, every temptation, every suffering that we can go through, he went through, reaching again in many ways the climax on the cross. He does this so that he can relate to us. So when we turn to him and our need, We know that he can help from his own experience, from his own humiliation, his own suffering. But in this, he also does not sin. He doesn't fail. He shows us how we are to carry our own crosses, however heavy they may be, how we are supposed to persevere, how we can embrace our pain and suffering. He does that with these words. These words not only express his pain and his suffering, it allows the great rabbi, the great master, the great teacher, to continue his mission. So even though he feels this great pain, this great abandonment, he continues to serve and minister. The Jews knew the Psalms inside and out. And so when he says these words, all present would know that he is speaking the beginning of Psalm 22. And many of them in their hearts would have recited it in its entirety. And this psalm, in a very beautiful way, summarizes what our Lord is going through. He begins speaking of the pain that he has been feeling. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why so far from me my call for help, for my cries of anguish? My God, I call by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I have no relief. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the glory of Israel. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you rescued them. To you they cried out, and they escaped. In you they trusted, and were not disappointed. Imagine the pain in those words they would have echoed through our Lord's own heart, contemplating those sinners who came before, that despite their failures, the Father rescued them, restored them. But he who is without sin is not saved. His request from the night before to let this cup pass by goes empty, and he's called to die. To express his pain, he continues, I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They curl their lips and jeer. They shake their heads at me. He relied on the Lord, let him deliver him. If he loves him, let him rescue him. This is the summary of the dark night of the soul, the pain that our Lord is going through. And yet the psalm goes on in its third part. Then I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All descendants of Jacob, give honor. Show reverence, all descendants of Israel. For he has not spurned or disdained the misery of this poor wretch, did not turn away from me. But he heard me when I cried out. I will offer praise in the great assembly. My vows I will fulfill before those who fear me. The poor will eat their fill. Those who seek the Lord will offer praise. May your hearts enjoy life forever. In his pain and his suffering, Jesus says he will stay faithful. When it feels like the Father is gone, he will continue the mission given to him. Will not give up proclaiming the glory of his Father. Because of that, we hear in the final verses of the psalm, all who sleep in earth will bow low before God. All who have gone down into the dust will kneel in homage. And I will live for the Lord. My descendants will serve you. The generation to come will be told of the Lord. They may proclaim to a people yet unborn the deliverance you have brought. Our Lord, in calling this psalm to mind, calls it in its entirety. By his praying it on the cross, he reminds us to pray it in its entirety in our own life. Even though he can't feel the Father in this moment, he knows he is still near. He will still be glorified. you'll still do what needs to be done. In that, he shows us how to carry our crosses, how to continue to follow God. We embrace this, we live this word out in three ways. The first is in our prayer. We name our pain and our struggles. We tell God what is going on. We bare our hearts completely. It is okay, even praiseworthy, to be honest with God with the suffering that he has given us, of how much it hurts, how much we don't want it. Always, as Jesus does, of course, with respect, an acknowledgement that God is God, and we are not. Then we turn to the Lord completely, absolutely. Continue to say the words we know we are supposed to say. Pray the prayers we know we are called to pray. Serve and love the way we know we are called to serve and love. Let God keep working through us, even in our suffering. And finally, to remember the story. God will stay faithful. He will not abandon us, even if it looks like he has. He will always be with us. Therefore, we must read, pray, and study the scriptures, our story. So we have to carry our crosses. We, like Jesus, can rely on the words that God has given us through the Bible, allowing them to come to our mind and to our heart, to strengthen us, to give us resolve, and to help us persevere and to share his love even in those most difficult moments.